The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Mercy Sowa.
In the headlines, Interministerial Task Force on Ebola set up. Liberia closes down schools to stop spread of Ebola virus. Christian Health Association of Ghana directs members to restore healthcare services to NHIS cardholders nationwide. Human activities threaten safety of Wager Dam. GBC is 79 years today, and NADMO suggests relocation of communities affected by tidal waves in Ada West District. The Ghana Medical Association has renewed its calls on government to set up its level of preparedness against the Ebola virus. The Deputy General Secretary, Dr. Justice Yankson, asked the media to be circumspect in their reportage so as not to cause unnecessary fear and panic.
The medical association is not happy with our level of preparedness in our quest to prevent and fight deadly Ebola disease, as you put it. Our level of preparedness, especially at the facility level, we think it leaves much to be desired. That is where we seem to have problems. The baseline is that Ebola, God forbid, if it should surface in this country, will have to be managed by health personnel and at the health facility. And clearly, especially all our health facilities, looking at what is happening on the ground now, are not well prepared for what could Ebola bring along. Clearly, there's been some national response. We acknowledge that as a medical assistant, but it hasn't trickled down to the facility where most health workers will be exposed because they will have to deal directly with confirmed cases and suspected cases. So, it's a bit of a worry for us.
And Doc, the Ebola seems to be getting enough publicity, and the fear and panic factor in such situations cannot be discounted. In what way can doctors like you and your authorities allay the fears of the public about Ebola?
I mean, in all the interviews and opportunities that I've granted and the opportunities I've had to talk about this situation, one of the key things is that we should not overly get panicked, because I think the media, in quotes, should also be responsible and a bit circumspect when they talk about these things, because sometimes the exaggeration alone is enough to cause a lot of panic in the society.
That was the General Secretary of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Justice Yankson. Meanwhile, government has constituted an interministerial team comprising the Ministers of Health, the Interior, Defense, Communications and Local Government and Rural Development as part of efforts to scale up ongoing activities to ensure that Ghanaians are protected from the Ebola viral disease. Under the chairmanship of the Minister of Health, the interministerial team will be responsible for the intensification of the fight against the deadly disease. The interministerial team will today meet the press to outline plans they have put in place to combat the Ebola virus from getting into Ghana. Deputy Minister for the Interior, James Agalga, who serves on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, noted that it is important to brief citizens on the structures put in place following concerns that the country is unprepared.
We've been having meetings, and I can tell you that the Chief of Staff recently put together a ministerial task force comprising the Ministry of the Interior, the Ministry of Health, local government, some other relevant agencies like the National Security Outfit, to map out strategies to deal with the matter Thursday, and hopefully we're going to hold our first, meet the press to tell Ghanaians what measures we are putting in place. But in the interim, I can tell you that protective equipment have already been dispatched to all the regions so that in the event that there is an outbreak, we can respond rapidly by providing health workers with protective equipment to deal with the situation.
Well, let's talk more about our entry points. And if you say we have not sealed them off, do we know who and who are coming into the country through our various entry points? Because that seems to be the worry of doctors, especially the Ghana Medical Association.
Point is that it's hard to detect who has the Ebola virus. You know, the Ebola virus has some incubation period. And so if, of course, you do not start showing signs, it may not necessarily mean that you are not a carrier of the virus. And so what we are looking to do is to put in place the structure which would make it possible for us to combat the disease as and when it emerges. We're praying that it doesn't emerge at all, because it's a deadly virus. But at the same time, our level of preparedness must be enhanced. And that is what we're looking to do at the moment. You see, it's very difficult to shut down our borders, because we have to continue to do business with our neighbors. I mean, if you even consider the fact that under ECOWAS protocols, there is free movement. We're supposed to have the free movement of persons within the sub-region without any hindrance. You would notice immediately that talk about shutting down your borders could raise certain legal implications. And so it's difficult.
Deputy Minister for the Interior, James Agauga.
The Liberian government has announced the closure of all schools across the country to stop the spread of the deadly Ebola virus. Non-essential government workers will be sent home for 20 days, as well as the army deployed to enforce the measures. President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, in a televised speech to the nation, asked Liberians not to deny the existence of the virus, but rather make efforts to protect themselves from being infected.
The nature of the virus and its rapid spread throughout Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, attacking as it has the way of life of the people of the Mono River Basin, has posed serious national, regional, and international threats to public health and safety of the greatest proportions. This is unprecedented. Please, if not doing your part, keep yourself and your loved ones safe. Hiding sick persons is not doing your part to keep yourself and your loved ones safe. Ignoring the signs and not reporting it to the healthcare authorities are not the ways by which we keep ourselves safe. The sooner we unite in fighting this disease, as I know we can, where each of us will play our part, the sooner we will overcome this disease and return ourselves to how we have always lived.
Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. The number of people killed by the virus in West Africa has now reached 672. Ebola kills up to 90% of those infected, but patients have a better chance of survival if they receive early treatment.
Meanwhile, global medical charity Doctors Without Borders has warned that the Ebola crisis in West Africa is unprecedented, absolutely out of control, as states across the world take steps to prevent its spread. The charity's director of operation, Bart Janssen, said there is no overarching vision of how to tackle the outbreak, since the epidemic is on the rise in affected countries. Meanwhile, the International Civil Aviation Organization has met global health officials to discuss measures to stop the disease from crossing borders.
Sheikh Umar Khan, the late top doctor in Sierra Leone's fight against the Ebola disease, who died on Tuesday in the east of the country, will be buried today. The corpse has been disinfected and conveyed to the Lassa Fever Mortuary in Kenema. In a tribute to Dr. Khan, Doctors Without Borders described him as an extremely determined and courageous doctor who cared deeply for his patients. Figures released by the ministry in an update disclosed that 129 patients have survived the disease and have been discharged from the treatment centers in Kenema and Kailahun.
Still on health, two people have been confirmed dead on arrival at the Adabraka Polyclinic after contracting cholera. There have been an upsurge of the disease in some parts of the capital. A visit by Radio Ghana to some hospitals show a high number of referral cases, with health practitioners working feverishly to attend to patients. Samuel Bano went around some of the health facilities and has come through this report.
At the Adabraka Polyclinic, information made available to Radio Ghana indicated that most of the referred patients had come from Usu, Fadama, Odoko, Nima, and Labadi. Nurses at the OPD were attending to patients reported to have contracted cholera. The clinic recorded 204 cases and were still attending to more. Head of OPD at the polyclinic, Dr. Ebenezer Odro-Mensah, tells Radio Ghana they are doing their best to attend to all the patients referred to the facility. He said, though the situation is challenging, they have the personnel to handle it.
We try and see as many as come to us. Since 26 May, when they scored the first case, we've been getting a lot of cases here. Some referrals from other facilities which we still manage. We've seen 204. We are still recording. My last check, we had 18 patients at the cholera unit. So as they come in, we try to attend to them and manage them. We have the ward that takes about 22 patients. We have the capacity to see them. We still have challenges with the numbers of staff because we have been overwhelmed by the numbers. The isolation unit where we nurse them is usually closed when there is no cholera outbreak. So with the cholera outbreak and with the numbers of patients coming in, being seen by the same numbers of staff who usually run the clinic, that's a heavy burden on them. So we still have challenges in terms of personnel. Our logistics wise, we have largely what we need to manage them. So we are doing our best.
The situation at the Mamobi General Hospital was quite different, as 58 cases had been recorded with limited space at the isolation ward. Medical Superintendent of the hospital, Dr. Mildred Kumasa, said they are overwhelmed by the number of cholera cases. She was quick to add that the number has risen and is being managed very well.
The first 2 weeks, the cases were not too many. But over the past week, the number of cases have really shot up. I can confidently say that about 5 days now, we've seen over 20 cases. We have seen a total of 58 cases and managed them quite appropriately. Five of them turned out to be positive. That doesn't mean that the others were not cholera, but we managed them as cholera. And then, unfortunately, we lost one case 2 days ago. That was on Monday. Came in quite late. It was a woman referred from Mungwa, Lekma area. Not all the cases are coming from Iowa. It just happens that we have an isolation ward, so people think that they should refer the cases to Mamobi Hospital. But the place is not that big. We can only take 14 cases at a time.
Dr. Kumasa called on the public to observe personal hygiene since the disease is spread through contaminated food or water.
Sonny Obana reporting.
The Christian Health Association of Ghana Church has directed its members to restore healthcare services to NHIS cardholders across the country. This follows an agreement between the association and the National Health Insurance Authority. At the meeting, the NHI promised to facilitate the payment of claims for March 2014, starting this year. A statement from the authority said the NHI in charge will ensure certainty of payments considering all current restraints. The statement announced a new tariff review cycle for implementation by January next year. An interim increase of 12.5% will however take effect from tomorrow, a step to complete the full review by 30th September and implement it by 1st October 2014 are taken. The NHIA and the charge agreed to work together to complete a review of a new provider services contract and apologize for any inconveniences their actions may have caused.
The Ghana Health Service is taking bold steps to curb the high incidence of newborn deaths in the country at a national forum to solicit commitment and support from both the public and institutions to make it a reality. A 4-year national strategy and action plan have been launched. The Child Health Coordinator at the Ghana Health Service, Dr. Isabella Segumosis, identified lack of equipment in health facilities, inadequate skilled health providers and certain cultural practices as some factors hampering their efforts. She called for concerted efforts to save the lives of newborn babies. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Interministerial task force on Ebola set up. Liberia closes down schools to stop spread of Ebola virus. Christian Health Association of Ghana directs members to restore healthcare services to NHIS cardholders nationwide. Human activities threaten safety of Weja Dam. GBC is 79 years today, and NADMO suggests relocation of communities affected by tidal waves in Adan West District.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. The Electoral Commission says it will comply with the ruling of the Supreme Court barring it from using the NHIS card as a source of identification for the registration of first-time voters. The Commission has therefore set a new date for the start of the voter registration, which had to be postponed because of the court case. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Director of Public Affairs at the Commission, Christian Owusu-Parry, said the exercise will now start from Monday, the 4th of August, and end on the 13th of the same month. He spoke to Bright and Trama.
The Commission will comply with that decision by the Supreme Court. You know, even before the court came out with its ruling, the commission had already indicated that it will comply with whatever decision that the Supreme Court will arrive at. And so if the court says that the NHIS card infringes Article 42 of the Constitution, the Electoral Commission has to comply. So we will no longer accept the NHIS card for registration of voters.
By this, you mean you are not going for a review?
No, we are not going for a review. We have accepted the position of the Supreme Court, and we are making new arrangements for the registration of voters. Indeed, we have already put out a statement that the registration will start from Monday, the 4th of August, and end on 10th August, that is Wednesday, 5th August. So we are not going for a review.
So for the purpose of education, can you tell us the sort of education you need when you want to register as a first-time voter?
Yes. Apart from the National Health Insurance Card that the Supreme Court struck out this today, all other cards still hold. And the cards that we are talking about are the Ghanaian passport, the National Identification Authority card, the old voter ID card, that is the ID card that was in existence before the introduction of biometric registration, and then the private license are all valid documents for identification. So it's only the National Health Insurance card that is no longer acceptable as identification document.
Will this ruling have any effect on your exercise?
Yes, of course. You know, it has delayed the implementation of some of our programs. Indeed, we should have started registration on the 25th of July. And if we had said then, we would have finished registration on the 3rd of August. And then from the 4th of August, our plan was to start hearing the challenges, the registration challenges that were filed against some of the applicants before we start printing the provisional voters register. But now that we're going to start the registration on 4th August, it means that the hearing of challenges may have to wait. We have to push it back. And that means it will affect the rest of the program. So we'll study the rest of the programs and adjust accordingly. So it has indeed affected our program of activities for the year.
That was the Director of Public Affairs at the EC, Christian Owusu-Parry.
Municipal assemblies along the Wager Dam in the Greater Accra region are calling for the relocation of the Kasua toll booths and the police station to protect the quality of water in the dam. According to them, human activity and encroachment along the Wager Dam is greatly affecting the work of the Ghana Water Company, which spends huge sums of money in treating the water for human consumption. The municipal assemblies think the relocation of the toll booths and the police station to Buduburem will protect the quality of water at Wager. Gloria Anderson and Teko Natekama have filed this report.
The awareness-raising program on the importance of water quality was organized by the Water Resources Commission with support from the European Union. It is part of interventions to build the capacity of participants in water quality monitoring and surveillance. Representatives from Ga South, Ga Central, Ga West and Ikuyapim South Municipal Assemblies were brought together to identify problems affecting water bodies in their areas and to make suggestions that will ensure that these water bodies are protected. The Municipal Assemblies presented papers on issues confronting the achievement of quality water in the areas. They mentioned human behavior and activities as major challenges which must be addressed immediately. A coordinator at the Dinsu River Basin, Ronald Abrahams, outlining the problems affecting water bodies, especially the Wager Dam, set commitment of MMDAs to ensuring that river bodies are protected is key.
Once in a while, we lift dead bodies from the Wager Lake, which is not a pleasant thing at all. The toll booth is one big problem around the place, you know, that is attracting traders. We don't want this because trading comes with a generation of risks, and then if we bringing people past two around. There are no toilets there. So we are working very seriously to actually remove these activities, socioeconomic activities, from around the Wager Lake area and send it a little bit far, somewhere around Budibiram, to see the situation. So we have to be careful of what we do around.
The Water Quality Assurance Manager at Wager, Nicholas Autry, said the Wager Dam is of great concern to the Ghana Water Company. He said equipment used by the company for the treatment of water are unable to do so due to refuse in the Wager Dam.
The quality of the water keeps deteriorating, and this comes from environmental factors. And there are so many kinds of algae, one, the cyanobacteria, that produce mycotoxins. We are praying that these mycotoxins will not grow. If they do, they introduce cyanobacteria in the water, and the toxins that they produce, if our system cannot remove them. So I'm urging that the environmental aspect should be taken seriously. People must not farm too close. People must not, when the fishermen carry their fish, they throw back the carcasses into the water, and it traps it all impacts and introduce more nutrients into the system.
Mr. Autry called for measures to educate Ghanaians on the importance of having quality water.
One thing I would like the assembly to do is to monitor the environment seriously. They should manage the storm clearing activities, the sand winning activities. People are also breathing too close into the catchment of the Wager.
The capacity building and water quality monitoring and surveillance project in Ghana will see to the creation of well-functioning laboratories in the Greater Accra, Western and Ashanti regions.
A report by Gloria Anderson and Teko Nati Kama.
23 new senior high schools are expected to be built in underserved areas across the country. This follows a financing agreement between Ghana and the World Bank for $156 million. The facility is to help improve access and provide quality education under the Secondary Education Improvement Project. At the signing ceremony in Accra, the World Bank Country Director, Dr. Yusufa Crooks, that the project will be done using a results-based financing approach. This means funds will only be released based on pre-identified achievements or specific results, which are expected to help Ghana see improved and educational outcomes in an equitable manner.
Deputy Minister of Local Government and Rural Development and MP for Dududiodio, Neil Antivandapoy, has announced plans by the ministry to set up an educational fund for the constituency. The fund, to be set up in collaboration with some chiefs and educationists, will support brilliant but needy students in the constituency. Mr. Vanderpoel said this in Accra when Vivo Energy Ghana, an oil distribution company, donated educational materials to the Accra CMP and Bishop Mixed Basic Schools to enhance effective teaching and learning.
The national coordinator of NADMO Kofi Potiphar says it's devastating the way and manner floods and tidal waves have affected some communities in the Adawes district of Greater Accra. 850 people have been affected in 11 communities in the district. Mr. Potiphar said relocating the residents is the best option since most of them now live with relatives and friends. He said this when he went on a tour of the district and presented some relief items for distribution to the affected families. Roslyn Ganyaglo and Frederica Ashong have the rest of the story.
The NADMO coordinator, Kofi Potiphar, said the effects of climate change is a contributory factor to the problem at hand. He indicated that one sure way of solving the problem is to build a harbor for the district as well as a sea defense wall. This will help improve the livelihoods of the people and create jobs in the area.
Almost all the communities along the coast, fishermen, livelihoods, their canoes, their nets are all carried away. So we have done the initial work and they become so turbulent and stormy. And we believe that the effect of climate change is exacerbating the flooding on this part of our country. And tidal waves that really displace our people. What happened is that there's been extreme dryness, and so flooding has become very challenging for farmers. Fishing, which is a major occupation on the Lewis stream, also was reduced to the minimum. And many of our people on the southern part here have had to migrate.
During the tour of the district, Mr. Potiphar observed that human errors such as building on waterways and sand winning at the beaches are worsening the situation. He therefore advised residents to desist from acts that will compound the problem. The district chief executive of Ada West, Anthony Klopa, explained that a lot of education is going on, but due to poverty, people still win sand along the beaches.
A lot of education is going on along the coast about farming. It has affected a lot. Formerly, when we were very young, when you come here, you have a lot of coconut trees over here. So that alone is an economic venture for them. And then they have a lot of canoes over here, which do the fishing. But as we speak now, most of them are going to Lume and then Tema, simply because they don't have a landing site. All the coasts have been washed away by tidal wave.
A resident of Wekumabe called on government to come to their aid and was quick to add that the people are ready to relocate if that will be an option.
To drag these boats day in, day out is becoming a problem for us. So we do have them at the overbank there. The town Wekumabe itself is in the sea. So here is just another new land that we were setting because the sea is just getting closer to us. Day in, day out. Even today, dry is coming. If only the government will do any sea defense for us or we can't do anything to stop the sea coming.
If only we have any proper land, so we will do no problem about that land.
The relief items include 400 buckets, 5 bales of used clothing, 500 plates, 50 Wellington boots for the rescue team, and 200 boxes with each box containing a mattress, bucket, and a water bottle. Items such as maize, rice, and beans have been arranged for the victims.
Roselyn Ganyaglo and Frederica Ashong's report.
The Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, has expressed optimism that the corporation will meet the international deadline on migration to the digital platform by June 2015. He said despite financial challenges, GBC is set to have a digital platform that will cover the whole country. Speaking ahead of GBC's 79th anniversary lecture today, Major Donchebe said the corporation has done fairly well in meeting the broadcasting demands of the country.
Being an institution, GBC is growing, and 79 years, even though it's quite a long time in the life of a broadcasting station or organization, it's probably not the longest. There are older, far older organizations, and we're looking forward to the future with even greater confidence than ever before.
And would you say GBC has lived up to your expectation as a public service broadcast and also playing its primary role of educating, informing and entertaining Ghanaians?
I think GBC has done fairly well. It could be better, but under the constraints that we operate, you know, we don't have perfect conditions. We do not have access to the kind of resources that we require to discharge our obligations. However, under the circumstances, I think we've done fairly well, well above the past mark, and we still believe that we could do better.
GBC, we know, has a vision of improving hair technology and, I mean, going digital. Why is the corporation now in terms of digital broadcasting?
Well, as you probably know, we pioneered digital broadcasting in Ghana, and so far, locally, we are doing quite well. Apart from one other foreign operator, I believe we have the most extensive digital platform. But as you know, our platform started as a pilot, and it was intended to be built up by the state. We are owned 100% by the state, and there are certain critical interventions that must be done by the state. One of these is the construction of this digital platform. As you speak to me, we still wait the state for the state to provide this platform. We are very anxious because, as you know, the deadline is June 2015. However, we are not just sitting back and waiting. We believe that in our own small ways, we can extend digital broadcasting to as many Ghanaians as possible because of the excitement in that technology. And in recent times, we have extended the technology to Kumasi and its environs. And we are studying prospects of going probably to Tamale and Takoradi. But this is a very expensive proposition, and funds are among some of the things that we don't have, but we're doing the best that we can. And recently, we have received positive information that at long last, our digital platform may be just around the corner. And so we are keeping our fingers crossed, and hopefully, we shall have a digital platform which will cover the whole of this country before the deadline, which is June 2015.
Major Albert Don Chebe used the opportunity to appeal to government to review the TV licensing fee and noted that this avenue can help the corporation raise the needed revenue for its operations.
The U.S. and UN have condemned the shelling of a school housing displaced civilians in Gaza. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said the attack, which killed 16, was outrageous. Israel said its military was responding to mortar rounds launched from near the school.
Now to end the news, another look at our headlines. Government has constituted an interministerial task force on the Ebola virus to ensure that Ghanaians are protected from any outbreak. The task force, which is under the chairmanship of the Minister of Health, will be responsible for the intensification of the fight against the deadly Ebola disease. And government of Liberia has closed down all schools across the country as a stopgap measure to stop the spread of the deadly Ebola virus. The news was presented.